The first new network TV series of 2004, premiering the second week of January, was an NBC reality show called The Apprentice. The last person standing after everyone is eliminated gets a $250,000 salary working for Donald Trump. TV critic David Bian Cooley says the show has already crowned a winner, and it's Donald Trump.
When I heard about NBC's The Apprentice, I couldn't believe it and didn't want to watch it. It didn't matter that Mark Burnett, the creator of Survivor, was behind it. What mattered was that it was a reality show with Donald Trump at its center. And if working for and glorifying Donald Trump was the point of the show, I was prepared to hate it. But The Apprentice is halfway through its run now, and I haven't missed an episode. I don't hate this show. I love it. That stuns me. And it also stuns me that a lot of people I know, of different ages and with different occupations, are reacting the same way. The Apprentice, like Survivor, takes 16 people and divides them into two teams of eight, then pits them against one another on sets of weekly challenges. On Survivor, it's stuff like swimming underwater, solving giant puzzles, and standing still longer than anyone else. On The Apprentice, the challenges are a lot more identifiable, and so is the behavior of the various contestants. On The Apprentice, teams are sent out to do things like propose and acquire items to be donated for a charity auction, sell lemonade on the streets of New York, manage a restaurant for a night, and, in last week's episode, renovate and rent a Brooklyn apartment in 2 days. Each team's efforts are measured against the others. The team with the highest profit percentage wins a reward and is whisked off in one of Trump's jets or limos to go have fun. The losing team has to go to the boardroom and face Donald Trump and his two lieutenants who serve as his eyes and ears while the teams compete. The team leader of that week's challenge chooses two members of his or her team to accept some of the blame, and one of those three is fired. That's the premise. And I know that if you haven't seen the show, it may still sound silly and contrived. But it's turned out to defy all those less-than-great expectations. And so has Trump. For a while, teams were divided by gender, and the women kept killing the men. But when Trump gathered the women together for a special word, it wasn't to praise them, but to scold them for using their sex appeal to win challenges in a manner he found cheap. Trump surprised me then. And since that point, he's mixed up the teams twice already, and the surprises keep coming. Everyone who pulls a paycheck can watch The Apprentice and identify certain familiar types. Omarosa on the show comes off as unbelievably abrasive and not at all impressive. She shirks a lot of her fair share. And when she was trying to charm Isaac Mizrahi into donating something for charity, she couldn't even get his name right. Another woman, Tammy, is even worse. When she's not saying the wrong thing, she's projecting the wrong mood. Of the other contestants, Bill is well-liked but not overly successful. Katrina is emotionally all over the place. And Troy is a country boy with big city moves and instincts. By watching The Apprentice, you learn how these different personal styles work or break down in high-pressure, real-world situations. In last week's real estate challenge, Katrina and Troy were the team leaders. Katrina, whose background is real estate, had the definite edge going in and knew which apartment had more potential for profit. Troy didn't know, but when it came to selecting an apartment, he had the better moves. Better and sneakier, but not more noble. First, he eavesdropped as they placed cell phone calls to their respective teams. Then, he took a gamble.
You walk in here and it looks like an absolute disaster, the second one. However, if you have vision, you could do a lot more with the second one.
That's the
then
key.
That's
then,
it, Katrina.
Then you've answered your own question. That's the way to go.
The more I talk about it, the more I really want the second one. I'm hoping that he's not going to go for it.
My gut tells me...
Third Street. You guys go ahead and tell me what you think right now.
Third Street.
Third Street.
That's what I think.
Gut feel.
I had overheard her already saying she wanted Third Street. I was also on the phone with my team. They told me to hold strong to that property.
I'll let you go first and make your offer.
Troy, why don't you just tell me which one do you want?
I'll give you 10 seconds, and then we'll just go straight to the coin.
Okay,
toss.
Why don't you write on...
9 seconds, 8 seconds.
You write on a piece of paper which apartment you want, and I'll do it. And then if they're the same, then we'll talk again. Why don't you do that? That's fair enough.
I've got a coin. I feel good with the coin.
You don't feel confident in your decision?
No, I feel confident in my decision. I just want you to make the offer.
Are you relying on my expertise?
Okay, then we'll write it on a piece of paper. I gotta hang up the phone, guys.
Country boy charm's not gonna work for this one. I'll write down what I want.
Okay, you write down what you want, and I'll write down what I want.
She says to me,
like we're in third grade. You write on a piece of paper what you want. I'll write on a piece of paper what I want. We'll change papers. We'll open them up and we'll start from there.
Ready? You wrote it down?
I wrote it down. By God, I wrote, I want exactly what you want. Kind of giggling inside, laughing, going, that's going to get her goat. That's going to get her fuming a little bit.
That's not ethical.
I want what you
want. I thought you were an honest man.
I think Troy is a sleazeball. I think he's despicable. He's the most dishonest person that I've ever met.
Every player may remind you of someone at work. And at the end of each episode, one of them is fired. That's the part where Trump has shocked me, by being something other than a cartoon or a buffoon. On TV, in this role, he has dramatic weight, like Martin Sheen in The West Wing, and wields his power well. His advice is good, his instincts are better, and when he has the three vulnerable team members in front of him in the boardroom, his aim is deadly.
I've heard enough. Katrina, with your experience, you should have been in charge of both the renovation and negotiation. And Bill, you weren't a good negotiator. I think you should have gotten a better price for the apartment. Tammy, you got in the way of your team, and your disloyalty has been just terrible, and you sort of understood that.
Throughout, really, or just this one particular task?
Let's say it doesn't matter. I mean, it was so obnoxious in this particular case. Tammy, you're fired.
The Apprentice will end with a live finale on April 15th, but its life and impact will extend past that. It's the first reality series I think is worth watching more than once. I'll predict right now that when this first season of The Apprentice is released on DVD, and yes, NBC, Burnett, and Trump already have committed to a second, it'll sell more copies than any other reality series in history. That's partly because you can learn a lot about human behavior and avoidance of workplace disasters by watching and rewatching The Apprentice. And it's partly because Trump is likely to buy enough copies himself to make sure he holds the DVD record. After all, that's just good business.
David Bianculli is TV critic for the New York Daily News. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Julian Hertzfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Our researcher is Jessica Chu. Sue Spolin directed the show. For Terry Gross, I'm Dave Davies.